Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. Fresh off previewing the unfortunately best team in the NFL by a massive margin. Today we are here with their hated rivals, not the best team in the National Football League. That's the Jets.
They're hated rivals. I think more likely would be their, you know, indifferent twice a year opponents.
Yeah. Well, you hate them.
Oh, sure. Of course.
But we all hate them. So, yeah, exactly. All right. So, Keev, this is going pretty well. We got one down. We got 31 to go.
Yeah.
You can feel football in the air.
Yeah, I'm excited for football, even though my team doesn't really play that. I will say, I was just with my grandfather, and he said to me, Akiva, he probably called me Lewis because that's my dad's name, and he calls me that sometimes accidentally. He said, Akiva, I don't want to live to 100. He's 88. He's turning 89 in March. I don't want to live to 100, but I want to see the Jets win another Super Bowl. So they better get good soon. And I think that's a good way to start.
I got bad news for your grandfather.
Yeah, I do. He doesn't want to live to 100. He might have to live to like 110 to really to see this because it's not looking good. Before we get into the Jets and we introduce our Jets, the Jets guests we have on today, by the way, were Jets guests in the original 32 Fans podcast in 2010 or 11, whenever we did that with Ari Gold.
2011, yeah.
So they've been around. They've been around for literally 6 years.
And it's a panel. It's a panel of guests we have.
Yes. Literally the team we need the fewest guests for, we have the most guests for. Not only are they irrelevant, but we also have like, you know.
All right. So before we discuss something irrelevant, let's discuss something relevant.
No, even more relevant. Okay. So last year, the 32 Fans podcast did a pick'em pool with our listeners. I think we had 34 people in the pool. It was for money if gambling was legal, and it was a lot of fun. I think a woman won, right?
Why do you say that with such
disdain? I'm just saying there was 33 guys and one woman in the pool, and the only woman beat the 33 guys, right?
Yeah. That's correct. Yes, yes, yes.
Emily Easterly, I think, beat all of us. Or maybe
yes, Emily Easterly. It's more than that because she signed up late, so she started behind the eight ball in week one.
Oh, really? Oh, she had like an auto loss in week
one? Yeah, she signed up on the Friday after the Thursday night game, so she started week one, I think, with one fewer win or something like that.
Anyway, okay, that was a great story. Yeah. And so this year, it was fun, but I didn't think it was too interactive. This year, what we want to do is we want to have a fantasy football league with our listeners. But obviously, you can only do that with a certain number of listeners. So I think what we're going to do is it's going to be a 32 Fans Fantasy Football League. And we'll get the instant reaction from our two guests who are listening, who will be on in a minute. And what we're going to do is, this won't be anybody's main fantasy football league, right? And even if you don't play fantasy, you could pretty easily do this. I will be in one league, as the commissioner, and you'll be in another league. And there will be 16 teams in each league, but it won't be a normal 16-team league. Each person, we will draft two teams per person. So 16 people in the league, everyone drafts two people. It'll be snake, so if you have the first pick, you have the 32nd pick. And so if you have the first pick, you'd pick, say, the Steelers or, you know, I don't know, some other team that has good fantasy players. And if you have the 32nd pick, you'd probably pick the team we're about to talk about, the Jets. And so you get all the players from the roster of those two teams, and that's your fantasy team. You can't add or drop. You know, you could add or drop in theory, but only guys your team has and not, you know, if your team trades a guy, if the Jets decide to trade, you know, there's a big market for Josh McCown because someone needs a third-string quarterback who loses a lot of games. You know, you lose that guy. So I don't know the exact breakup. Do you know the roster breakup? Are we doing one quarterback or two?
No. We're doing two. We have two teams, so we're going to do two quarterbacks.
The only thing we still need to discuss, it's not contingent on the league, is if someone could make us a schedule where the bye teams play each other, I think we would use that, right? If we have any
I think the buys will balance out. I'm not worried about that.
No, the problem with this league. Nobody's willing to make us a schedule where the buys balance out. If there's like a Sean Falcon,
They can't make the schedule until after the draft has happened.
No, you could just do team A, team B, team C.
No, but right, you can't make. They're not right, going to. They're not going to know.
You're right. Yeah, you'll know if you could do it. You like the person listening would understand what we're saying.
Yeah, whatever. This league is going to be highly inequitable. I think it's very top heavy and also very. I don't think a snake, a 1-32 snake, is going to work. But we'll try it out.
Yeah, we're going to try
it out. For shits and giggles.
And it'll be so it's 32 fans. I think in theory, if more than 32 people wanted to join, we could do. Oh, and also one of the quirks is it'll be totally separate leagues. Like it'll be separate on ESPN.com or whatever. But the winner of my league plays the winner of your league for like the Super Cup.
In week 17 or whatever.
In week 17. If, in theory, okay. we got 48 or 64, we'd have to figure that out. If we had 48, it's a three-way Super Cup.
Yeah.
And if we had 64,
but actually,
we'll just do
70. So I like this. This is an interesting wrinkle because, you know, let's say, for example, the let's say very likely the person who gets the first pick is going to take the Patriots and then the Jets as their two teams.
Yeah.
But they have to think all the way to week 17
Patriots
when they're playing in the Super they're playing for the Super Cup against the winner of the other league.
But it's not so bad. You get your Garoppolo in week 17.
Oh yeah, that's true. You can get anybody on the team. Yeah, that's true. So,
but yeah, no, there is an interesting wrinkle. So,
by the way, in that scenario, they would quite likely start both Patriots quarterbacks and no Jets quarterback.
Right, that would be funny. Yeah. Start Brady Garoppolo, but not McCown or God, Hackenberg.
Like the Cowboys with like Romo and Prescott last year.
Do the Jets play the Patriots in Week 17? I think they do.
Ah,
they usually
okay.
don't, but I think they do this year. But I could be wrong. Anyway,
well, it's all divisional matchups. So we'll get that. There's a 1-3 chance.
But I'd say anyone who wants to be in. You can sign up. The first person who, when we post this in the 32 Fans Facebook group, says they're in is automatically in. And I think another quirk is if you join the
league. What do you mean? Only the first person,
I guess
the first 30 people.
To be in is in, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Join our Facebook group.
I will post it in the 32 Fans Facebook. That's the only way to sign up. You have to be in the Facebook group. And if you join the league, you get to choose if you want to be in Chester's League or Akiva's League. How about that?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right, let's introduce our guests. Let's talk about the Jets.
All right, so yeah, we have two guests here to talk about this terrible garbage team. We have more guests than the Jets will likely have victories this year. And as usual, it's Harold Rosengarten, a fine fellow, and Av Sinensky. I just need to say, all the late night shows last night started with like moments of like very serious conversation, you know, the host directly to the audience, letting him know where he stands given the current climate. So I want to do something similar here. I just want to say,
I already did that. I already said like my grandfather talked about death and like the Jets winning the Super
Bowl. Yeah. Well, but I'm saying in terms of like the current events that are happening today. So I just want to say, I understand the desire to condemn certain parties, but I really do strongly believe that there are good people on all sides. There's good people in the Patriots, there's good people in the Bills, good people in the Dolphins. The one exception is the Jets. There are no good players on the Jets. This team is garbage. This team is awful. This team is an embarrassment. I don't know why we're even talking about them. Yep. So I'm going to sit out and you three can commiserate.
Wow, you're not even joining the podcast.
There's nothing to say.
All right. So Av and Harold, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Akiva? And I guess Chester.
That's just Chester saying he's busy. He's busy at work. Although, to be fair, I think he told me he would do this like a month ago, that he would just let the three of us do the podcast. He just knows I physically can't record it because I'm a moron.
No, I'm still here. I'm listening. I'll chime in if you guys say something egregious.
Well, I want to. Let me get reaction to our fantasy football league first. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's.
I don't think anyone is going to understand anything you guys were talking about with the bye weeks. So I'll just tell you.
Well, I mean, the bye week was over people's head because that's like a conversation we had. Basically,
well, listen, we'll have to write the instructions on the Facebook group and post. It's easier to see it visually than listen to it verbally.
But people understand 16 teams, you pick two teams, you have the Cardinals and you have the Ravens, and you get all their players.
In fact, I'll post
it
right now.
It's easy to understand.
No, don't post it now. Wait till the podcast.
It's easy to understand, but I mean, you have the Patriots and the Jets. I think you're still better off than you have the 15th pick. You're kind of screwed, I think.
No, the issue with the bye week is what if your team is on a bye and you play a team that doesn't have a team on a bye of? So then they have two teams to choose from. That's why I'm not sure it could be a two-quarterback league unless we could balance the byes. Do you follow? Because you're automatically going to lose, basically.
Okay, everybody has byes. That's part of it.
That's not one-quarterback league.
When you play someone else who has
a bye. Yeah, but Chester's going to make the schedule, and he's going to go up 6 weeks in a row against teams on byes.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be in Akiva's league because I was once in a league with Chester, and there's a league I'm in now was formed, basically, so that no one would have to be in a league with Chester.
Survivors of being a Chester sometimes CCs me on his fantasy football.
To be accurate, you guys were actually kicked out of the league, but yeah.
No, that's not true.
It is. You didn't change your roster for like 5 weeks in a row, so you got kicked out.
No, that's not what happened.
I have the email archives from 2005.
I would trust Chester here.
There was a group of people who all agreed to drop out because of Chester's tyrannical rule.
Yeah, by the way, I've been in the league for like 11 years that was an offshoot of like people who just were tired of Chester's league.
No, that was Klein. He was also kicked out of our league.
Oh, yeah, everyone was kicked out.
Yeah, only three people have been kicked out.
Donald Trump was a fantasy football commissioner.
No, four people have been kicked out in the league's history, to be accurate. In 14 years.
By the way, if I said to Chester of, like, it would be cool for one podcast if we did an oral history of like, or like a deep dive history into your fantasy football league. Chester would jump at that in a second. He would think, oh, that's a great idea. I actually regret saying it out loud. He might actually want to do that now. All right, I wanted to ask you guys, because I've never rooted against the Jets in week one. Like, I've definitely rooted against them the day my eldest child was born and the Jets were 3-12, and you wanted them to lose so they could get Reggie Bush, who we thought would be the number one pick. It ended up being Mario Williams. And they won the game because Justin Miller took a kick return back to the house back when the Jets had competent special teams. Right? And, like, it's reasonable in week 16 or 17 to root against the Jets. Right, guys?
Week 17 totally makes sense. Cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but... but I think it's going to be very weird because I think you have to root against this team in week one.
I mean, I asked this question. I forget who I asked it to if I could do this. I feel like week one.
You should ask a rabbi this question, honestly. It's like a moral question.
I think
question.
Week one is difficult. I really do not think they'll be very good.
Because even if they win week one, the chances of this team making the playoffs are 0%.
Akiv, I'm going to give you an answer that's going to make this all a lot easier for you.
Yes.
Who you root for doesn't.
Oh no! Don't start with. Oh please! You're like the Richard Dawkins of sports fans.
No, I go through this thought process a lot where I'm like, oh, if I had rooted for the for the Mets to win that
what
game,
do you mean,
like,
oh, wait, if I sat in the other chair, they would have won.
Yeah, no, I know, but it'll put your mind at ease. You could choose to root or not root for them, and they'll lose either way.
Well, they will lose either way, but I think it does matter. Like, I think you have to live with yourself, ultimately. And I think week one you have to root against the Jets. If you're serious about this rebuilding, I mean, again, you could argue, like, well, if they go in 16, Darnold is for sure not going to come out, and then they're going to be stuck with, like, whoever, you know, the Jewish guy or whoever, like, you know, is ultimately going to be.
There's a Jewish guy?
Next,
we should go for
you know,
him. That
Jared
sounds
guy.
Great.
Josh Rosen, the chosen Rosen,
yeah, I'm sure
on UCLA. Terrible. Yeah, he's going to be terrible. His pro player's getting paid, probably because he knows he's not going to be good in the NFL.
Will Christian Hackenberg be chanting at Josh Rosen saying, "You will not replace me"?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, I would like Hackenberg more if I felt like, at least if he had something going for him, like a POV of any kind, I think I would appreciate
it. Say what you will about National Socialism, at least it's an ethos.
Yeah, totally. That's a Big Lebowski reference, right?
I mean, frankly, I'm still very surprised that Christian Hackenberg, who had a 52% completion percentage in the Big Ten, hasn't worked out in the NFL.
No, for sure. He couldn't handle Northwestern, but I think Bill Belichick, he's going to really take down.
Yeah, they say the game slows down when you come up to the
that's
NFL.
True. That's the way it works.
Like beating Kennesaw State in week one, you know, that's a joke. But, you know, a bigger joke is when you play the Bills and the Dolphins. This team is so bad. I don't even know where to start. I root against Hackenberg. Like, but Hackenberg needs to play this year because he needs to be exposed as being bad. It's like, to use an example of the president, like, you want the president to do a lot of press conferences, right? Because you want him to be exposed as, like, being dumb, right? I'm sure you're on board here, right? You want the president talking every day so he gets exposed, like, and people hear what he has to say.
Yeah,
and not hide.
I hate when people are like, stop tweeting. I'm like, no, tweets.
Keep
the
tweeting.
Only thing,
so
the only chance we have is if you keep tweeting.
Right. Same thing with Hackenberg. Like, we need to see him play this year because he can't be on the roster anymore.
Right.
It bothers me that he's...
Yeah, and maybe if this, that...
Can't be a Hava meme.
Yeah,
what's
correct.
Crazy is Bryce Petty is worse than Hackenberg.
Well, Bryce Petty was, you know, an afterthought when he was drafted in the first place. So
I know, but, like, he had, like, if Petty, like, they would give Petty the starting job if he was good. It's not like he's there as filler. Like, he had the opportunity this year to do something. He's just so
you
bad.
You know, he's the next in the line of the Brooks Bollinger, Kellen Clemens people that the Jets have had for years now. So Bryce Petty's an afterthought. Hackenberg probably is not going to be good. McCown, we know what McCown is. They don't have a quarterback. Everyone knows they don't have a quarterback. So it is what it is. I'd like them to throw out Hackenberg, see how bad he is. Then they can just cut bait with him after the year. But they're not going to do that. They're going to let McCown play. He'll be below competent, but not as terrible as Hackenberg would be. And he'll, you know, lose a bunch of games. Like
it's so crazy because McCown is, I think, the second worst winning percentage-wise, the second worst quarterback to play 40 games in league history. And he's, like, light years ahead of everyone else on our team. It's crazy. And he's old, so, like, he actually is past his prime. Like, his prime was, you know, the worst quarterback ever, and he's past that. But another thing that's a problem for me, guys.
The rest of the roster?
The rest of the roster. Like, even if we get Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold is Peyton Manning in his rookie season. Like, there's no one to block or pass to or run the ball, like, or anything but be good at defensive line or safety. It's crazy.
Yeah, and speaking of... So like if you look at our groups of players, so fine, the defensive line, you know, we have three very good players there. The next best unit on the
three
team.
Three very good players, but there's a chance that next year only one of them will still be on the team.
All right, but fine, let's talk about this year. Yeah. The next best unit on the team is the safeties, where we're starting two rookies.
Two rookies.
And that's our second best unit on the entire team.
Right, and everything else I'd put in the like abortion category.
And they'll probably suck too, because why would
they
be
good? Right, they might be bad. They might That's be true. Bad. They might actually be bad.
They could be.
We're just like assuming they'll be good because they're rookies, but they might.
The
suck
third
too.
Best unit on the team, by the way, might be the wide receivers, which are like universally considered the worst unit. In the of
they were the worst unit in the league before Inunua got hurt.
Right before Inunua got hurt, who's like, and now.
No, I mean,
I will say, Austin in terms of like prospects,
and, Jenkins might be reborn. I've read a lot of articles about how he's overcome addiction. I'm sure he'll be fine this year. Don't worry about it. And then they get Jordan Leggett. They'll be fine. The height ends.
Yeah. I think Jordan Leggett's, like, his draft profile said, like, will not block no matter how much money you pay him. The tight end situation is the worst group in the league at any position. I was looking at, I've made this joke already, but like, every single team, like I was looking at like their beat writer on ESPN, like who's going to make their 53. Every single team is cutting a tight end that could start for the Jets.
Sounds about right.
Like, yeah, you said that on the quarterback podcast.
Yeah, no, it's really true. Like the more
Let's not
I see
get
it,
into reruns.
It's, well, first of all, I'm honored that you listened. So the linebacker situation is linebackers are like the best guy on the team is like a 40-year-old rookie.
We
have Darren Lee who can't tackle. Demario Davis, who was washed up when we got rid of him 3 years ago, is somehow back.
Well, the depth chart I'm looking at has Sheldon Richardson as an outside linebacker, so that's fine. He's a great linebacker.
Yeah, that's like a 5-year experiment that hasn't worked once yet, and Sheldon Richardson somehow still plays it. The other thing, like similar to Hackenberg, that if this year nothing else happens but Bowles gets fired, I feel like it's a victory.
I don't know about that. I don't know what Bowles is. I mean, I don't know. He wasn't bad the first year, and he was. I don't like his game management, but I still don't know.
Yeah, no, obviously. Well, his game management is a zero. He seems like he's fine in the locker room, and the players respect him, if not, like, I don't know if they love him, but they respect him.
I mean,
but,
listen.
Right, his game management, if we ever were good, your game management doesn't matter when you're the coach of a 4-12 team.
Yeah,
that could actually help us.
They're going to win a maximum of 3 games, and he will be fired. So let's just, you know.
Right, but will Maccagnan survive that? Because he's trying to lose, so there's no real reason. There's no justification to fire him. The thing is, what if Hackenberg plays, and then we realize, oh, we drafted Hackenberg in the second round, and he's like the worst quarterback of all time. That's sort of fireable.
I mean, people make bad second-round picks all the time. We have just had Roberto Aguayo, you know, canned, and that was a kicker. So,
especially the Jets.
Well, yeah, the Jets are
I don't think the Jets have had a good second-round pick since David Harris.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, Harold and I were discussing before the podcast started that the Jets should sign Roberto Aguayo because just in case the defense is really good and they, like, accidentally win a game or two, like, Aguayo could really sneakily, like, cost us a few games. That would be very convenient. That's what we should be doing, like, just really accumulating, like, the worst special teams ever. So for some reason we see some growth somewhere, like, it's negated by, like, the atrocious special teams.
It looks like the Bears signed him.
They did.
Right. Yeah, the Bears signed him, but I don't think he's going to make that team. Like if we paid like Tanner Purdom, the long snapper, to like botch a couple in close games, this is really where we have the direction we have to be going in.
Well, Lachlan Edwards is going to be terrible too. He's not good. So their kicker and their punter.
Maybe they could do like a fan season ticket. Like,
who wants to be a long snapper? Sure.
Or like the kicker or something.
Yeah, well, Jalen Marshall, the kick returner slash wide receiver, is literally a sleeper cell. Like, he gets open every play, but I think fumbles at every other time he touches the ball. So I like the idea of having Marshall on the team because he's.
Isn't he suspended for a bunch of games?
Yeah, I think he. What is he suspended for? 4 games.
I think only four.
What did he do wrong? It took a lot to get 4 games. What did he do?
I mean, I don't know. They don't usually say what you got suspended.
He probably smoked marijuana.
Right. No, they don't test for marijuana. They test once a year, I think, and then when you pass, you could smoke after that in the NFL.
PZD. PEDs.
Maybe like the penile enlargement thing that guy got tested for?
He was taking Adderall.
No, that was a Viking, if I'm not mistaken, right,
yeah,
Chester?
Ontario Smith. We're really testing if Chester's listening right now, or if anybody's
listening. I'm listening. Ontario.
Ontario,
like the province.
Said. With two R's, not
two R's and an E.
Um, All right, so there's really no hope. You know, we have what all hopeless rebuilding teams should be, which is a 31-year-old running back who is going to handle the ball a lot. And
who
Bilal
hasn't
Powell,
practiced at all because he has a bad hamstring. So, you know.
Right, not, literally not medically allowed to practice. And, like, and our prospect running back is a 28-year-old, you know, who will be completely useless by the time. Like, there's just so little to be excited about.
Useful,
what?
The only useful piece on offense, I believe, is James Carpenter. At left guard.
No, Bilal Powell is useful for this year.
Bilal Powell is a solid player. He's for sure their only fantasy relevant player.
But he's not. He's not. He has no long term value because he's 28.
Oh,
he's running.
McCown is useful in a four quarterback league.
Right, right. If I don't think McCown can't even start in this 2QB league. Like already made that joke, but it's
no
true.
Way.
So I wanted to ask you what is there someone on the team other than Leonard Williams, who's obviously the best player on the team? Is there somebody like whose potential excites you?
We're hoping Jamal Adams is a good player, but you know,
right?
It's you know, I don't know that you know a safety is someone who's gonna.
Justin Burris might be good. Justin Burris might do something.
I took a class with Jamal Adams once at Michigan.
Sure, you did.
I've shared that story. It was him, Jake Long, Mike Hart. My
Jamal
wife
Adams
and
is a rookie. Like, there's no way you went to college with him. He was
oh, so then there was Jamar Adams. There was a Jamar Adams who was a safety at Michigan. In 2007.
How is this relevant?
With the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. You said a safety to Jamar Adams. I'm like, it must be the same guy.
That
guy was drafted in the NFL, but I don't think he ever played. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Well, that was very helpful.
Maybe he was taking the SATs.
When you go back to do your lawyer stuff.
I'm going back to my work. Yeah. I've told the story about that class. It was a ridiculous class, and they watched South Park all day. And I came because my wife told me that there was 8 kids in the class, and 3 were starters on the Michigan football team. So I came one day to check it out.
Oh, you weren't even in the school.
You weren't even in the class. You just went to the class.
No, I came to the class to see them.
You were in the class with him.
I was in the class for one class with them.
Yes,
we got in trouble in high school.
Yeah, I had dinner with because we're in the same restaurant.
The teacher took a poll. He said, "What are we going to do today? We have two options. We can watch 3 episodes of South Park, or we can watch a documentary about Karl Rove called Bush's Brain." So there was a 7-1 vote.
What's worse is that Chester's told the story on the podcast at least once before.
Yeah, but I'm here.
Oh, you voted for the Rove documentary?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh my God, we got in big trouble in high school for watching Family Guy. In the seniors' breakfast room or whatever, the whole grade would get together and watch Family Guy. I don't know why that's just as relevant as your story.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of more like irrelevant. I was in the pool in Mexico yesterday with the assistant GM to the Canucks.
Wow.
And I Googled him. That's not interesting, but this is. So he said like, okay, he's from Syosset. He went to Harvard. He was talking to my grandpa. And I'm like, okay, he didn't say what his job was. He just said he works for the Canucks. So I thought, oh, maybe he's the coach, maybe he's the GM. I don't know anything about the Canucks. He was the assistant GM. That's not interesting. What is interesting is, like, 8 years ago, he was the GM of the Orlando Magic.
That's an interesting show.
So he's going to go from, like, NBA GM to NHL GM. That's insane. And his Wikipedia page, which I assume he had to write, said that he resigned as a Magic GM to go to the NHL, but he started as, like, a scout. So nobody would resign as GM in the NBA to become a scout in the NHL and, like, 8 years later become an assistant GM. He also traded Tracy McGrady for, like, Steve Francis' corpse, which I didn't bring up to him because I wasn't talking to him. But I think that probably was the reason he got fired and replaced by Otis Smith and not that he wanted to become a scout in the NHL. Anyway, should we do the roster game? Let's do the roster game. Pick a number between 0 and 100, Harold.
73.
Ooh, 73. Tell me what you're thinking about Shamarco Thomas.
I've never heard of him before tonight, so nothing.
Okay. And Av, give me a number.
I've never heard of Shamarco Thomas. I assume he's starting for us, though.
Yeah, no, he's the captain. He's the only guy coming up for the coin toss.
It seems he's the backup strong safety, so, you know.
He's the backup. I think, like, he might be depth because Daryl, what's his name, Middleton just got hurt, the backup safety.
Doug Middleton.
Doug Middleton, sorry. Av, give me a number between 0 and 100.
44.
Ooh, 44. Okay, talk to me about Frank Beltre.
Frank Beltre. Okay, that's Adrian Beltre's younger brother.
Younger brother, correct. He went to Towson. I assume with Tamir Goodman.
And he's going to be a middle linebacker.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking at his profile on Jets.com. And where it's a summary, it says no data. So, you know, that's always a good sign.
That's pretty much. The truth is, the sneaky bad part about the team, where you're alluding to a second before, is the offensive line. Because I do think, like, Winters and Carpenter, while overrated, are, at, you know, probably no worse than an average to slightly below average guard pair. But they literally replaced, like, their Hall of Fame center with, like, oh, we'll just see who's around on the team.
Meanwhile,
they didn't even sign anybody.
Was Mangold ever signed by anyone? He's not on a roster.
No,
he?
Mangold's not signed.
Nor is
I think
Revis.
He's one of these things where, like, Revis can't. Revis is a tricky thing where you can't. His contract is such that the Jets are paying him $6.5 million no matter what. So he'd basically be playing for free unless you offer him $7 million. So I don't think anyone's going to pay him. Maybe like someone would sign him in like week 15, but I think he might have to sit out this year. I'm not sure like how it's going to work with Revis. But
so
Mangold,
he's holding out. He finally got his holdout.
He's essentially holding out for, I think, the eighth time in his career. He's going to like be in the Hall of Fame and still be holding out from the NFL and like maybe come back. But yeah, so the Jets have no center, and the tackle situation is abysmal. It's like literally every day there's a new guy up there. Like they're like, well, Jeanla could do it, but he was one of the worst players in the league last year. Kelvin Beachum was horrible and is always hurt. He's like a worse version of Clady from last season.
Well, people were excited at like week 15 or something that Brandon Shell played like
Shell would play like a few snaps a game and do well. Yeah.
I think it gets really concerning at a point because, you know, there's a mentality of like, you know, let's just lose all the games and we'll get the number one pick and that's good. But there's a point at which, you know, your roster becomes so bad that, it takes years to replenish it. Yeah. So it's not, this is not a real rebuild. This could take 3-4 years.
Look what happened to the Colts with Luck.
Even if you make great picks. And B, you get to the point where even the few good players on your team, it becomes impossible to develop them because they're playing with garbage around them.
And by the way, we talked about this last year, but like the coaching staff he assembled, he didn't like get a lot of winning defensive coordinators or position coaches that teams are trying to sign. Like every single guy was like a career loser who's like, you know, got promoted one level up past maybe where they should. To be like, you know, a quarterback coach or to be the coordinator.
Excuse me, they have Kevin Green, Hall of Famer, as the linebackers coach.
This year, that's true. They did sign Kevin Green this year. And that's like a competent coach. But you look at the positions and there's a lot of guys who seem like maybe they're not qualified to, they got over promoted one position too far. You're right. So they're going to be like born to a loser mentality. There's a rot at the core of the team that's going to like take over. It's really depressing.
And it's really crazy because, you know, we're talking about a team that is 1 year removed from what they went 10 or 11 the year before.
I mean, it was the most bogus 10-6 ever, but like.
All right. But still, you know, it's not like this necessarily had to go this direction.
No, but listen, they were old and they were in salary cap hell. The one thing they have going for them is if they did want to spend next year, which I don't think they should. They have
plenty of money to spend.
They have like a zillion dollars because they literally have to spend at a certain point because they're at the floor.
Well, I would spend for the reason I just said, because if you're going to draft this guy, let's say, you know, they get the number one pick and they draft this guy who they think is going to be a franchise quarterback, you have to put players around him or he's going to be a bust. There's no way around it. You got to invest in offensive line. You got to invest in some players, some weapons for him to play with, or it doesn't matter if he is the next coming of Aaron Rodgers. You're never going to get there if he has no one to play with.
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious answer is you start with the O-line. Like, you know, if you get the quarterback, you need to surround him with a competent offensive line. And if it takes a year to build out the skilled positions of receiver and cornerback, then so be it. So I wanted to end with you guys. The over-under I see is 4.5, but it's not even worth asking you guys that. So I'm going to lower it to 4. Over-under of 4 wins for the Jets this year.
4? I mean, how could they win 4 games?
I mean, you could win 4 games by accident. They won 4 games last year.
You could win 2 games by accident. You can't win 4 games.
I mean, I'm looking at the schedule.
It's a crazy number, right?
And they don't. It's not like they have a lot of easy games on their schedule either.
ESPN's FPI gives them a 1% chance of making the playoffs, which is the lowest it's ever been for anybody before the season.
It's crazy that it's that high.
So, like, the target you want to go
for. Let me tell you a story about someone who had a 1% chance, according to Nate Silver.
Yeah, what's the Super Bowl odds? I'd like to know. Sort of like the Rams in 99. Because they said they would never go like 200.
No Kurt Warner on the team. There's no one who objectively isn't atrocious.
What do you mean? At the time, Kurt Warner was literally a guy, shelving grocery stores. Yeah. I don't know
had
the word.
Had he ever like demonstrably
stocking
sucked?
Shelves.
Because Hackenberg demonstrably sucked, and Petty demonstrably sucked, and McCown is historically bad. So it would have to be someone not on the team lead them to the Super Bowl at quarterback.
I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. Maybe they'll beat the Bills once. Maybe they'll beat the Browns or the Jaguars.
It would be funny if they were like 6-0 and I was still like yelling at you guys, like, we need to root against them. We need the number 5 pick.
You know what's going to happen, by the way. They're going to be 2-13 going into week 17. And, you know, the Browns are also going to have two wins.
Oh, and that's the
Patriots game. And they're going to play the Patriots in week 17. Yeah. And the Patriots are going to be 15-1. And Belichick is going to tank the game to fuck over the Jets.
Oh, yeah. The Belichick's going to. Remember the fruity kick he used to do?
I'm already angry about
this. He'll do that the opposite direction and get points.
I'm not sure how.
I'm already angry about it.
Oh yeah, no. The second I saw the schedule, I was emailing people about it. Like it will be one of the worst days of my life if that happens.
I just don't see how that happens.
If we lose the number one pick,
I think
Belichick.
The Patriots can play their third stringers and probably beat the Jets. So I don't really know.
No, I do. I don't think it's possible, but they would have to actively try and lose.
Yeah, they'd have to be like taking safeties, and then I mean, listen, I want to put it past Belichick because he's a cheater.
You know what he could do? This is a Belichick move. What if they pulled, like, and Harold, you know this move from soccer. What if they, like, win 72-0, so they embarrass the Jets, but they accidentally played, like, an illegal player who was inactive for one snap?
I assume they're already doing anyway.
Illegal player after the game through some, like, anonymous source to Goodell. Isn't this a good idea? And then, like, so it's an automatic forfeit. The Jets win. What's the NFL forfeit score? Like 6-0.
It's a risky move, though, because who knows what will happen after that. I don't know. Maybe there'll be some sort of investigation. They'll take him out of the playoffs. Who the hell knows what they'll do?
Now, listen, Bill Check's already thought 5 moves ahead. Goodell might be in on it, honestly. He hates the Jets, too.
That's true.
All right, so this is what we're coming to. Conspiracy theories about the inevitable Week 17, where the Jets are 2-13. I don't know how they're going to get two wins, but the Jets are 2-13. Like, you realize the Browns look at the schedule, and they're like, sweet, we have the Jets. That's
the Browns are home for the Browns are home for that game, so I think they're favorites. I don't think – the Jets must not be favorites in any game.
Oh, I believe the Jets are underdog in all 16 games right now.
Listen,
I mean, they can't be major underdogs in week one, I don't think.
The Jets just, they have to take care of business. You can't let yourself be in a position where in week 17 you have to rely on the other team not tanking it
to other team
to secure the number one pick. You got it. You got to make sure that you've already clinched it.
Grown-ups. All right, so guys, thanks so much for joining. I don't know if you'll be joining us in our 16-team fantasy league that you guys said is confusing, but... I don't know, and I don't know if you're in the Facebook group, but that'll be in the Facebook group. Anyone wants to join, you know, when we post this, say I'm not going to post like the fantasy groups. You have to listen to the podcast and say I want in, and then you have a spot, and then pick if you want to be in the Chester League or the Akiva League, or maybe there'll be 3 or 4 leagues. There might be a Harold League and an Av League if there's more. Who knows? Anyway, guys, thanks so much, and you know, we speak to fans of the playoff teams usually, but I don't think we'll be speaking to you guys again. But maybe draft time. Maybe draft
time. Maybe we'll speak in 2022.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This is the.
Let me ask you an interesting question, actually. So you guys are going to have, you know, your 53-man roster. How many of those 53 players will be on the roster the next time the Jets make the playoffs? If I put the over-under at 20, under. What would you say?
Well, way under.
20? Are you insane?
I mean, no team probably. 10? First of all, Chester, that's a dumb question, because 20.
5?
No team has 2 years later, 20 of the same 53 guys. So it's an insane question.
No, I think I read – no, it takes – I think they said like half of a roster overturns in like 3-point-something years on average.
No, that's definitely incorrect.
I think 5 is about right. You hope the two safeties, Leonard Williams, I guess.
Maybe like a Robbie Anderson or some – like one.
So you're not making the playoffs – So you're definitely not making it in 2018 or 2019.
No,
2018 I'd be very surprised. In 2019,
it's not like we're the Bills and we have 6 picks that we can rebuild. Like
2019 is a little far away to rule out. 2018 is no chance.
2018 is unlikely.
I mean, hopefully the world will be over, but it just sounds too painful.
Well, Grandpa, I mean, the way things are going right now, so this is that'll be disappointing.
None of us will see it. But listen, Grandpa Wienerker has one up on us because. He's seen the Jets win the Super Bowl, but we have not.
We have not. That is true.
Did he, though? Did he really?
Yeah, he watched it.
Okay.
He did not go to the game. I think it's a regret, but he watched. We just talked about in the last podcast, he went to the 1942 World Series, Game 3.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so
That's
much.
Not the last podcast. That's the next podcast, Kiva. We're posting them in a different order.
Oh, so we're like in a time loop now.
We are at a time loop, because I also said on that podcast that it was the
You're at the corner of first and first. It's the nexus of the universe.
And we've only done AFC East themes so far. That is true.
Well, now that's a spoiler alert for what's coming tomorrow.
Who cares?
The Bills also suck. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll speak to you next year for the...
Wait, what do Ovid and Harold have to plug? You guys have any plugs?
Oh, do you have any plugs?
No.
Should people come watch you work or something?
No, we have nothing to plug.
If you wait, if you want to come sit next to Av at a movie screening, perhaps in Long Island.
Oh, Av, do you know about this movie pass thing?
I signed up for it today.
On the last podcast, which is actually the next podcast, when we mentioned it, I said this is like Av's biggest dream in life.
Yeah, I signed up within 10 minutes of hearing it.
Someone posted that they've actually done this, and it's like real.
Didn't it exist earlier, but it was like $60 a month.
Yes,
it existed. It was just a lot more. It was a lot more expensive. It was like $40 a month or something.
And now it's 10, which is obviously a no-brainer.
Now it's 10, which if you even go to one movie, you're good.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Yeah. All right. So this was awesome. Maybe, Av, we are actually going to have you on the podcast again in a few months for your movie ring. How many 2017 movies have you seen so far?
Only about 30 so far.
Okay. But you'll get back up.
Got to pick up the pace.
Is the year trending better or worse than 2016 where you saw 132 movies?
Oh,
in quality, not in quantity.
In terms of number, or in terms of quality.
Quality,
I think, way down so far this year.
Well, last year was really strong.
But based on this part of the year, also, because most of the best movies come out the end of the year.
I would say the first half of the year last year was a lot stronger in my opinion than this year.
Okay.
There's only been like I would say three or four like must-see movies this year. A lot of crap.
Can we get a sneak preview? What are the must-see movies for this year?
No, I don't want to. Don't ruin the freaking December podcast.
Give me one. Give me one movie that you've seen this year.
The two movies this year that I would say everybody should absolutely see.
He's going to say The Big Sick?
The Big Sick and Get Out are the two movies I would say everyone should see.
Look at this woke guy.
Yeah, and I don't
know. I've told me he hates white people movies.
All movies matter.
Hey, there's a lot of good white people.
All movies matter.
He likes obviously.
Wait, hold on. We forgot to ask the over/under. So the over/under is 4.5.
Everyone
anyway, Harold.
They went under. We even made it 4, and they went
under.
Is this the first time Harold's ever said under? For sure, it is.
I mean, it would be insane not to. Yeah. Even we'd have to go back and listen to the 2011 podcast. But I'm sure
Harold probably has them going 9-7.
Yeah.
No way. I think they can get to 3.
Okay. That's optimism.
I think they can get to 3.
I have them going 2-14 for what it's worth.
Okay.
Who do you have them beating?
I didn't do my whole schedule by schedule yet, but I did do where my predictions. I made sure
monotonous. We'll throw it in when people least expect.
But I did make sure that I have a 500 league though. Actually this year, go ahead.
Yes, I was gonna say 2 is the right number of wins to aim for because 1 is 1 is too close to 0, and you really don't want to do 0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chester.
But the Browns in San Francisco are also gonna win 3 or 4 at the most.
Yes, yeah, so
you're the one who does that, Akiva.
Predicts ties?
Yeah, you did that last year. So did our Dolphins guest. Remember Eli Gray?
Oh, yeah. That was like several years ago. Yeah. All right,
that
guys.
Was, 2 years ago, I think.
I'm trying to end this podcast now for the 8th time because we have another one after this. But this was lovely. Hopefully, we'll meet under better circumstances next time.
I doubt it.
Do you want to plug the Arsenal? Is there any player in particular on Arsenal we should look out for? I mean, Harold, sorry.
Av has no idea.
Harold, I mean.
Wait, so we have an Arsenal nuke? Yeah, that's Harold.
Yeah, I don't know what Arsenal is.
Yeah, he's not a soccer
fan. He doesn't
even
know that exists.
He's too busy at the...
Yeah.
Although, I've been to infinitely more European football games than Harold has.
That's like a dorky brag. But...
Yeah. I cannot
is that 1-0? You've never
it's
been...
any number to
Harold,
zero.
You've never been to an Arsenal game?
I've never been... I've only been to England once, and it was in the offseason. So
no,
what can I do?
I've never been to England.
I was at a derby.
I feel like you should rectify this, Harold.
Those anti-Semite Arsenal people decided to play in New York on Shabbos. Can you imagine?
Why did you walk to the game?
You need to go to an Arsenal game in the next year or two. I need to.
That is true. I don't disagree.
Like no.
Are they in the Champions League this year?
No, not in the Champions League this year for the first time since I believe 2000.
Yeah, you could probably easily get tickets to the Europa League though.
Oh God! Who wants to? Go to the Europa League?
You play MK Zanzibar or something.
Yeah, you'll be in Bulgaria or something like that.
Well, Hapoel Be'er Sheva is going to be in the Champions League, and Arsenal is going to be sitting home in the Europa League. Doesn't make sense.
Listen,
there's a lot of people who that bothers, but most of them are hanging out in Charlottesville last weekend.
Yeah, those people, big EPL guys.
I mean, if it's between that and a Jew League, the Jews are trying to replace Arsenal in the Champions League.
They will not replace that.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.